Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the Corlin Economics Report. Good to be with you guys. Nice to be particularly with the people on the radio. The people on our blog are absolutely marvelous. It's, of course, nice to be with them. Here we go. We're going to start off talking about politics. There's really not much else you can talk about other than political coverage right now. I think that has any major impact on the American people. Turns out that Fox News is not going to let Tucker Carlson out of his contract. He's going to be relegated to not doing anything for the next 2 years if it's not on Fox. Jimmy, what are your comments on that?
Well, this is what Megyn Kelly is reporting right now, that basically Fox News is holding Tucker hostage.
Yeah.
In order to keep him from competing with other networks, and his $20 million a year contract, in order to hold that for, they may be holding that over his head. So we don't actually know the specifics of what's going on behind the scenes, but we do know that Tucker Carlson has hired a very effective lawyer, the same lawyer that Don Lemon on CNN, who was fired, has hired to support them in their cases to resolve their contract issues. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah.
But the most interesting bit of information that I believe is Tucker Carlson came out Wednesday night, made his first public statement from his basement, and basically gave a very kind of positive message in a sense that said, hey, look, you know, this is really about things that are important, and most of the news media stuff that you hear is not important.
Yeah.
And with that message, he didn't call anyone out. He didn't say anything very negative other than with the press and the media and the people that are – the corporations that are controlling things. He has had over 60 million views in a 24-hour period for that particular message, that little video. It's a very short video, a couple of minutes long. Now, what that tells me as an analyst is people are hungry – for media heads or voices, talking heads, to stand up and go against the system. And I think this is a very big turning point. I told our listeners in the blog, remember the 24th of April?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 2023. It is a significant date in history. And I think that it's going to show that many Americans that had kind of turned to Tucker and to The Five and other Fox Network shows to say, you know what, I'm an independent or I'm a Democrat and I kind of don't believe what's going on in MSNBC.
Right.
Huge drop in CNN. Network news was down. People were turning to try to find an alternative view. I think those people are even going to be more disenchanted with the corporate news entities, and you're going to see more movement towards independent news and away from the corporate news. And, of course, that will be, in my view, a good opportunity for free speech.
Jimmy, what do you know about the listenership or viewership, I guess I should say, to be perfectly correct? What do you know about the viewership on the three major networks, ABC, NBC, and CBS? What do you know what's going on there?
Well, you know, for they dominate in the Nielsen ratings, and they dominate in the overall views. Just the regular network news, half hour or hour long shows.
Yeah.
They in the past they dominated. However, Fox cable news had actually just began to surpass them, and then the reason why is all news networks, including Fox, have had a decline in overall viewers, but those viewers have shifted away from basically a bland corporate narrative. And I think that has to do with the lack of trust over what people were told over COVID. It has to do with the lack of trust over what people told about the 2020 election. It has to do with the lack of trust of these actual so-called journalists attacking people because of alternative views or different views. And I think you're starting to see the American people be a little bit fed up with it.
Yeah.
At the same time, you're seeing more voices reach out, especially on Twitter, as Elon Musk took away some of the technical controls that were silencing conservative voices there. So there's a big move away from those networks. At one point, it was going towards cable. Now it's going towards independent social media type things. How good is that? I don't know. But I do appreciate the fact that you could post something on Twitter and a link to a news feed or some other article and actually get a different view than what is controlled by the mainstream media outlets.
Well, I think really what's behind this whole thing, if you want to know the truth, I think the Democrats are behind it. And I want to tell you why I say that. Number one, when you look at the numbers, Joe Biden is very, very unpopular. He gets more unpopular by the day. And I think the American public is getting fed up with that. I think they're fed up with the fact that unless they are just rabid Joe Biden fans, they're getting up. Fed up with it because they really don't want to see the man run for re-election. And now, especially with the general consensus being, Jimmy, that Kamala Harris is being prepped for the presidential seat.
Al, I'd like to talk about this particular thing in detail in the last segment. You know,
sure.
Talk about the politics.
I think that would be very appropriate, Jimmy. I just think what we have here is a huge, huge backlash from the American people. And yeah, we can devote a whole segment to that. But that's great.
I agree with you. I think we are seeing a beginning to see a backlash, a slow movement of the population, and it takes a long time, you know.
Yeah.
We used to joke in the government, it's like turning the government around like an aircraft carrier. You know, it takes miles to get it in a different direction. It takes a couple of years to move the direction that you want in policy when you take over the reins of government. The unfortunate reality with the Biden administration, and you are absolutely right, Al, he has now reached the lowest poll numbers in his entire presidency. And those poll numbers are actually below what Donald Trump was at the height of the Russian collusion narrative and the potential impeachment actions and all the accusations. At the same time, you're watching Joe Biden announce his reelection campaign, but through a video that's pre-taped, while he makes mistake after mistake in public appearances, people are saying, wait a second, something's going wrong. We don't have confidence in the leadership. We don't have confidence in the economy, because the economy is another very big indicator of where people's, you know, hopes lie. And it's we're going down. And I think the next segment we should talk about economic problems.
You bet. They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger with every announcement that comes out.
Exactly. And this is all actually related to the Biden policies that really are not going to have the biggest effect until the next year or two. So I think the American people and many people, I mean, a lot of people have been asleep, right? But it's now beginning. The inflation is hitting people's pockets.
Yeah.
The ideological indoctrination, the transgenders in women's sports, you know, these things are beginning to affect people. You know, when their kids are out there on the women's or the girls' track team and get beat by somebody who's pretending to be a girl that's actually a guy, families go, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And I think these are the direct result of this administration's policies. We're going to see the fruits of that, or the actual rotten fruit of that coming up. And of course, this relates right back to the media and the tech companies, the corporate media and the tech companies trying to protect Biden and actually trying to attack Trump. They're trying to alienate conservatives. They're trying to alienate Republicans. And in particular, they're very afraid of another Trump administration, which would, you know, cause a lot of problems for their agenda.
I think he's the only guy, quite frankly, who can cause problems for the Democrats. And to me, that's a very interesting observation. Jimmy, I'd like you to wrap up this segment. We're down to about 9:07. We got to drop it at 9:15, which is very quickly
The
corner.
Once again, watching Tucker, see where he lands, but most importantly, looking overall at what's happening with the media is really important, Al.
Very important.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Well, Welcome back. Time for another segment of the Cornell Economics Report. What we are talking, actually the Cornell Political Report, but I got to stop myself. But this one is about economic indicators. The GDP of the United States was announced yesterday, Thursday, and bingo there. All the numbers are very, very disappointing. Jim, what I'd like to ask you, and let me opine on it first, and that is, in the total scheme of things, we got a whole bunch of things that are going south on us. The main indicator is that the economy is not growing anywhere near where it should be. It's amazing to me that the American people don't understand that this is due in a large part to what's going on with the government, with the executive office. You want to chat about that, Jim?
Yeah, you bet. So the numbers were interesting. There was expectations of about 1.9% growth, and in some cases, actually, earlier on in the quarter, and this is the first quarter 2023 numbers, early on in the quarter, there was an expectation of about 2.3%, but they adjusted those numbers from the Fed and, of course, the Bureau of Labor, or the economic boards. They adjusted those numbers down the actual numbers came out at 1.1% GDP growth. So that's actually, from the initial estimates, that's about a 50% drop. Now, that is three quarters in a row that we've lost growth in GDP. And I think a big part of that, and of course, if you remember back in first and second quarter of 2022, those were both negative growth quarters, which would indicate a recession, but everyone said, oh, this isn't really a recession, just before the midterm elections. And again, manipulation by the media, manipulation by the government numbers, and certainly by the White House.
Yeah.
Now, that we had a bit of growth in that third quarter, it was up a little bit, primarily because the other two previous quarters were down. Well, but when you look on balance here, we're on a downward trajectory, and the expectation clearly is an indisputable recession coming up in the next couple of quarters.
Have you seen some of the headlines, Jimmy, about just don't even expect this recession to be like anything we'd ever seen in the past, which indicates the pundits, the economic pundits, are really predicting a major recession, Jim?
Yeah, I think everybody across the board is now predicting that, and anybody that isn't is basically just a mouthpiece for futility for the government and for the administration. And let's go back out to the specific reasons why we're seeing this decline. Remember, we talked in the last segment about how long it takes to turn the government. Well, the budgets are actually two-year budgets in government. So when they pass a budget this year, it really doesn't. I mean, they won't pass it till the end of the year, and then it doesn't really affect the next year. Because of the previous couple of years. So you're now finally seeing the impact of the massive spending that the Biden administration and Democratic Congress put in place after the 2020 election in the 2021 budgets. You're now seeing the results of that.
Right.
You are also seeing the results of a very extensive push to shut down U.S. fossil fuel industries, to take away U.S. energy independence, and to push towards more, quote, sustainable, unquote, energy sources. Well, the reality is becoming very apparent that there is no possible way to reach the goals that the administration has put forward, but they are in regulatory methods through EPA, through IRS, through every single federal agency, pushing these agendas towards this climate change agenda, and it's actually going to have the negative impacts to the economy that everyone realizes will happen,
yeah.
But the reality is the next year or two you're going to see it. And a lot of that has to do directly with the push towards electric vehicles and changing U.S. manufacturing costs, and of course the shipment of manufacturing overseas and the control of rare earth metals by the Chinese, many, many factors that will impact U.S. Economic production as we face the reality.
You mean U.S. economic production in total?
In total, across
right,
the board.
Right. Jim, let me ask you a question. Now, it seems to me that the push for totally eliminating fossil fuels has been proven to be, at this moment in time for America, almost an impossibility given the total picture of our economy. I'd like you to comment on that.
Well, yeah, so let's talk about the impacts with electronic vehicles. So Ford has announced that they're going to lose $6 billion in manufacturing, ramping up manufacturing for electric vehicle.
Right.
So as they're going to lose that money, of course, that has an impact on their business model. But at the same time, they're saying, hey, look, we can't even produce the batteries with domestic sources. And that's about 30 to 40% of the overall cost of an electric vehicle. And so the demand for a very large number of rare earth metals is going to be higher. And there's I think about 9 that are required in a battery: graphite, aluminum, nickel, copper, steel, magnesium, cobalt, lithium, and iron, in that order. And basically the Chinese control almost all of those rare earth metals. We do not mine them anymore in the United States.
Nope.
So as demand increases for these rare earths, the price of the electric vehicles will go up, and then we become dependent on the Chinese for production. They will dictate our future. While we're pushing to a more green future, they are absolutely building on a monthly basis almost a new coal-fired power plant a month.
Right.
They are controlling mining operations around the world, buying them out in many, many places. They are going to dictate the future of the American economy as this administration pushes these green agendas.
Yeah.
So you have to go back and think, is this actually a U.S. Best interest, or is this a China best interest, and why is this administration actually pushing this agenda?
Well, let me say one thing, Jim, because we've only got about a minute left here to wrap this segment up before the top of the hour news. Let me say this. I think you're going to see a major flexing of the Chinese muscle, economic muscle, very, very shortly. I would predict, we talked about that earlier this week, I would predict that you're going to see the biggest biceps you have ever seen coming out of China probably within a couple of weeks.
Well, and I agree with you. And the unfortunate reality is we do not have competent people running our administration right now, including the President of the United States.
I agree.
And certainly the Department of the Interior, run by Deb Haaland, if you watch video of her in testimony on exactly these issues, you will be embarrassed. You bet. Yeah. Well, you go ahead and finish
wrapping it up. Here we are. We got the top of the hour news coming right around the corner. This has been a great segment. This has been a great first half of the show. Now we're going into the second half. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
We're back. Hope you enjoyed the top of the hour news on the various stations that are carrying our show. I want to say that the pundits this week from the educational arena are all getting very, very aggressive in rationalizing their stance on closing the public schools during the COVID situation, and they are realizing now that they were wrong to do that. Jimmy, you want to elaborate?
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting right now. You're seeing a shift in many public figures' statements on what happened during the lockdowns.
Right.
One particular very strong case is Randy Weingartner. She's the head of the teachers union, the National Teachers Union, and she was absolutely imperative in some of the decisions that were made. Bless you. Some of the decisions Thank that you. Were made to shut down and prolong the shutdown of schools. And that was actually a negotiating leverage point for the teachers union to gain more control in primarily union-controlled blue states and their education system. Now, she's on CNN yesterday, and actually a former Bush administration official, as a reporter, basically a pundit, called her out on it and said, hey, look, you can't testify in front of Congress and say that you were for opening schools when, in fact, you were the one that was primarily pushing against it, along with many influential people. And she, you know, he basically reamed her, if you will, on CNN, which is quite interesting. So this is one example, but you're also beginning to see very senior government officials, including prime ministers and presidents, back away from their official statements that they made during the pandemic. Justin Trudeau, the Canadian prime minister, he absolutely was like brutal on people forcing vaccinations. And he has come out publicly this last week and said, well, you know, we didn't make anybody do it. It was your own personal choice, which right. is absolutely a lie, because they were shutting down people's bank accounts. They were keeping people from work. They were keeping people isolated and locked up in Canada. The right. same thing goes here in the United States, where the Biden administration is trying to walk back those policies when, in fact, they had ordered every major corporation with over 100 employees to have vaccinations, that they ordered every government federal employee and every federal contractor to be vaccinated to work for the U.S. government. Those were overturned in court, but there is no question that the Biden administration actually made those demands. Yet they're trying to walk back from that, as there's more information on the damage that the vaccines have done, the ineffectiveness of the vaccines, and of course the overall ineffectiveness of policy. And education, if you go back to education from where you started, absolutely destroyed 2 years worth of education for children in the United States when the Europeans very rapidly reopened their schools because
Jim,
they looked
let's
at
put
the
a little
data.
Bit of a personal touch into this thing. How exactly do the school closures, I know, dramatically negatively affected your kids? I want you to go over that real quick.
Yeah, so, I mean, what has happened, and you can see in the test scores, and, of course, in socialization, there's all kinds of studies that have now come out that especially younger children in their first developing years have a very difficult problem understanding or seeing people's facial recognition because of the mask mandates. Overall test scores, we lost about 20 years, according to education data, we lost about 20 years of increases in math and science and reading scores because of 2 years worth of lockdowns. And people not, in many states, in the big urban blue states, they were forcing children to study at home. Nobody was going to gain much education from that. The teachers weren't capable of actually teaching quality studies, and the children weren't focused. And they weren't interacting with
right.
each other. So that's really some of the major problems that have happened. The statistics are proving about very clearly on study after study after study. And of course, nobody really wants to take responsibility for doing such damage to the population. And you're seeing it very clearly with some of the testimony and some of the public appearances from these officials.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Jimmy, I know on this issue, I'm not. Your kids, for the most part, when they entered into colleges, got scholarship. They got scholastic scholarships from top quality East Coast schools, and they were all behind when they entered those various schools.
Yeah, they were. You know, and the reality was, my son was valedictorian in his high school. Yet they'd only gone back to school. They basically missed a year and a half.
Yeah.
Of in-person education. Even up until this just 6 months ago, they still had kids facing one direction, 6 feet apart in the dining room in the Washington school that my wife was on the school board for.
Yeah.
These were absolutely draconian rules that had no impact and no effect. And even as information and data came out, they didn't protect children. They didn't protect teachers, they didn't do anything. They were just recommendations that the CDC and different people pushed forward that were, in my view, to make an appearance of doing something, but at the same time, in order to gain more control and more political leverage through the teachers' unions and through our political system, in order to protect the interests of politicians and spend a fortune of our taxpayer monies for bad policy. And that's what we've seen right now, I think.
Yeah. And so long story short, we have personal proof from Jim McKinney that the lockdowns simply did not work for the kids, particularly given the fact that all of the information that came out about the statistics as to the severity of COVID showed that for children Jim's kids' age, there was very little chance of any serious effects from COVID, even if they got it.
That's right. Almost nil. And I mean, it was, you know, three million or something, one in a million at worst, but most cases, 1 in 3 million potential damages. And those are people that had pre-existing conditions, youth that had significant problems.
Yeah.
So it was ridiculous, very damaging. And of course, you know, my son started out here at Clemson University from his top of his class and was really struggling with some of the basic classes that he had out there. My daughter went from the top of the class in Washington, came to South Carolina, and was about 68th in the class because they'd stayed open down here. And that's part of the reason why we moved.
Yeah, I know. We talked about that before. You did the right thing. There's no question about that. Anything else about COVID you want to talk about, Jim? It's getting to be a very, very sore subject.
Yeah, you bet. And how much time do we have left, Al?
Right now we've got about a minute, and we're okay. Now we're down to a minute and a half.
Yeah, so I will say that, you know, Anthony Fauci is beginning to face the reality that he will not get away with this, that he will not get away with the damage that he did, the policies, the advice that he gave to the nation. And what will, I believe, happen as with these hearings that you're seeing on in Capitol Hill, that eventually some of these people will actually face some legal action if we change administrations in 2024 for a 2025 process that the Department of Justice actually prosecutes people. If we don't have a change in administration, this stuff will all be swept under the rug. And actually, if we don't have an administration that's going to hold people accountable, it'll all be swept under the rug. And we'll be waiting for the next crisis to destroy our economy, destroy our people, and destroy this nation as the Chinese push these agendas.
Somebody is definitely against us. Jimmy, 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, I think, in fact, you know, we've got more and more information that that COVID came from a lab. You've got more and more information that all the policies that stepped forward were negative.
You've got more and more. We've got to stop right here. We don't want to lose our train of thought. KER Politics. It's been a great show. You got a pretty good idea where we stand right now. We're not telling you that that's where you have to stand. All we are saying at this moment in time is look at both sides of every single story. That's becoming very, very apparent in what's going on in American politics right now. We're going to quantitatively define exactly where all the candidates stand right now, and I know it's early. But the fact of the matter is, let's talk first about the Democrats. Joe Biden is really scraping bottom. His approval rating is lower than it has ever been. Jim, you want to elaborate?
Yeah. So Joe Biden right now is polling at about 37% approval rating. It's hard to believe, very hard for me to believe he even has 37%.
Yeah.
This is the lowest that he's had during his administration. And I just want to give a comparison. Donald Trump, during this period, at the same point in his presidency, was at about a 41% approval rating. Pretty low as well. But if you remember, he was being attacked on the you know, Russia collusion fraud and, you know, the Russian involvement in the 2016 election.
Yeah.
That was the Mueller investigation. There were leaks almost daily. The Stormy Daniels tax on, you know, with Michael Avenatti. We're in full bloom at this point, presidency. And you had gotten, the press was just, you know, this complete inundation of a competent leader. Now, that contrasts with the press now trying to protect Joe Biden. And, in fact, the New York Times coming out with an article saying, hey, we don't even need anybody to be very smart in office because, oh, by the way, they'll, you know, with the government will work by itself without them.
Yeah.
Now, that is a complete switch from attacking Trump for his competency and his mistakes at the same time. And remember, they demanded a mental acuity test for Donald Trump. And, of course, the press is not doing anything right now for Joe Biden.
No. Well, I guess the only thing I want to say is the numbers for Donald during his time to compare it to the numbers for Joe Biden to compare it to his time, obviously, the numbers are really almost not comparable because there's such a difference in the situations of the two people. I'd like to get a comment from you on that, Jim.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, the things that I mentioned, but as well, I'm not, you know, no one really trusts the polling these days anyway. And of course, when you see some of the, you know, some of the arguments that are being made to support Donald Trump, to support Joe Biden, they're really not arguments to support Biden. They're actually arguments to attack Trump or the previous administration.
Right.
It's not very cognizant. It's not very intelligent. It's mostly anger, and that anger is the result of years and years of social engineering to actually shape people to hate conservatives.
Yeah,
and that is happening. Yeah, and I think it's playing very heavily in the Democratic Party right now because they're attacking an actual competent potential voice.
Yeah.
Robert Kennedy Jr., who may have an impact as he rises in the polls.
And he is rising in the polls. There's no question about that.
Yeah, so he was originally, when he first announced his candidacy a week and a half ago, he was at about 14%
or lower
rating or support from Democrats. Democrats in polls.
Right.
He's now up to 21% in just basically a little over a week. Mm. That's a significant rise. That's going to have a very significant impact on the Democrat voter base. People that still are very committed to to democratic values, old school Democrats, versus kind of the more progressive Democrat agenda that the Biden administration represents right now. I think it's going to have an impact. I think I still don't foresee RFK Jr. being victorious because I think the Democratic Party will rig the system just like they did against Bernie, just like they did against any potential challenger to Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And I think that means that he probably, RFK won't have a shot.
Yeah.
But he could potentially announce an independent race after the primaries go, and that would absolutely destroy Joe Biden.
You know, I'm not sure I would agree with that. And the only reason that I say that in this point in time is I don't know how Joe Biden has, I don't know how President Biden has the strength that he has right now in the polls. I got to tell you, people are very disappointed with him. And all they have to do is take a look at the numbers that are coming out right now in terms of the economy, in terms of the fact that the United States has lost the reserve currency status. We're almost to that point. I believe we are at that point. And the fact that we have lost so much respect on the international stage in terms of being the greatest power, the largest power in the world. I'm not sure how anybody who can think can be proud of having a president who accomplishes that under his watch, Jim.
The people that actually still support him are the ones that still listen to the media and listen to the what the White House says without actually doing any fact-checking or actually thinking.
No, I agree.
And that's the problem right now. There are still people that, the house could be burning down in front of them and they're going to say, oh, no, it's all right, we'll put it out. And that's what's happening right now.
Exactly, that's exactly what's happening. Okay. We got about 3.5 minutes left to wrap this up. I want to talk a little bit about the Republicans. I want to start, of course, with Donald J. Trump.
So Donald Trump has been speaking quite a bit. He was in New Hampshire just, I believe, yesterday, or I believe on Thursday, when as we record this. He's been fairly careful. He's making bold statements. That's his, that's his demeanor, right? He's got this ego. We all know that.
Right.
But he's been very careful not to do any like direct damage. But he did. He made one great comment. I think was a great comment. He said, "Hey, I'm going to take away Crooked Hillary moniker, and I'm going to call her maybe nice retired old lady or something, Hillary. But I'm going to go ahead and plant that name on Crooked Joe Biden."
Yeah.
And I think as you get more information about the Hunter Biden laptop scandal, about the relationship between the Biden family with the Chinese, the Ukrainians, the Russians, and others, that he's going to be able to use that Crooked Joe Biden very effectively, because there are a lot of people that don't trust what's going on now. So Donald Trump is rising in the polls, and he is actually separating very far from his closest challenger, which is Ron DeSantis. And, of course, the other Republican candidates are in the very low single digit.
They're very low, yeah. I want to say that it would be a miracle, in my opinion, if somebody like Donald Trump, who is a genius, there's no question about that, it would be, in my opinion, absolutely miraculous if he got the nod. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I think it would really show some serious strength on his part if he did. Give me an opinion, Jim.
Well, I'm pretty sure that it's going to be very difficult to push him out of the primary race. He'll win the primary from all, from the Vision Now, unless for some reason he dies.
Yeah.
Or somehow the Democrats pull enough scandal, scam, legal issues to take him down. But the problem is he's been dealing with this now for 8 years, since 2015.
Yes, he has.
So he actually knows how to deal with it, and he has a lot of popular support. And as you see more and more people question the narrative being put out by the White House, as you see Biden's numbers going down, as you see the economy going down, as you see the border issues staying relevant.
I'm just amazed that we have to keep talking about that. Anytime you turn on unbiased news, it is absolutely terrible from a political standpoint. Jim, we just clocked at 9 minutes. We've got a minute to wrap it up. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I really think that Donald Trump has the advantage. Mike Pence is going nowhere. Nikki Haley made a boneheaded comment the other day about that she would welcome Disney to South Carolina. That was not a good choice for the Republican base in the primary because, in fact, people are quite angry with ABC Disney and what's happening down in Florida, and they support Ron DeSantis quite strongly.
Right, they do.
DeSantis has power, but his power is diminishing, and people are looking at him like, hey, young guy, stay in Florida, don't step into the race, don't let it get ugly, but the reality is everybody's political egos are involved. We don't know what's going to happen, but it will be an interesting summer and fall as we move into the actual primary season.
Well, I tell you, I think it's going to be an interesting summer and fall, and I think it's going to be interesting the first part of the next year. I think it's going to get ugly, but I hope it doesn't, because I love America. Thanks for listening.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.